Good morning, everyone. Shavua Tov. And I hope everyone is doing okay. And we're going to continue a little bit. I hope to talk a little bit about Purim, but I want to finish up some of the things we were talking about last week. You will recall that we had mentioned last week a machlokes, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah and Rabbi Akiva, as to what is the zaman of the achila of the Korban Pesach. Rabbi Akiva says you can eat the Korban Pesach all night until dawn, meaning the entire night of the Seder, you can eat the Korban Pesach. And that's why Rabbi Akiva says, that's why the Torah says, lo sosiru mimenu ad boker, do not leave it over until the morning. And the Korban Pesach, anything that is left over until the morning, b'yesh tisrofu, you shall burn with fire. So Rabbi Akiva understands the Pasuk, kipshuto, that you can eat the Korban Pesach the entire night, and it becomes nosar. Nosar means left over and forbidden to eat only with the morning. And therefore, achilas psachim, call halayla. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, on the other hand, takes the position that you're only allowed to eat the Korban Pesach until chatzos, the middle of the night. And even though he's moda, that the mitzvah of burning it does not take effect until the morning, that much he is moda. But in terms of not being allowed to eat it, you're not allowed to eat it from chatzos. Now, again, I had mentioned that chatzos, which is midnight, there's a machlokes how to compute chatzos. The one thing we can say for sure is it is not necessarily 12 midnight. That's not necessarily a relevant time according to halacha. According to some opinions, you take all of the time between sunset and sunrise and you divide it in half. And the halfway point between sunrise and sunset, I'm sorry, sunset and sunrise is treated as chatzos. Others say you count 12 fixed hours of 60 minutes each from high noon. Now, noon is not 12 noon, but when the sun is at the highest point in the sky, and 12 hours from that point will be the halachic definition of midnight. But be it as it may, however you define chatzos, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, the eating of the Korban Pesach is only permitted until chatzos. The Gemara further explains that essentially this is a machlokes, how to interpret another verse, because the Torah describes the Korban Pesach, v'yachaltem oso b'chipazon, you shall eat the Korban Pesach in a rushed, hurried manner, as if you're ready to leave Mitzrayim. But the machlokes is that this is also not just telling you how you should eat it, but it's also telling you the zaman. You should eat it in the zaman of chipazon, of rushing. According to Rabbi Akiva, this means the rushing of the Jewish people that took place in the morning when they left Mitzrayim. So you can eat it until the time of chipazon, which is chipazon di Yisrael. But according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, the chipazon is chipazon di Mitzrayim. What you can eat the Korban Pesach until the Egyptians were rushing us. And when were the Egyptians rushing us? That was Chatzos. As soon as there was Makas Bechoros, the Egyptians were urging us to leave. Hashem said not to leave until the daylight. We shouldn't leave like Anavim. But the Chipazon, the agitation, the rushing of the Mitzrayim, that occurred to Chatzos. So the Machlokas is when it says, V'yachaltem oso b'chipazon, is it chipazon de Mitzrayim or is it chipazon de Yisrael? Now, once again, I'm reviewing a little bit. The machlokes, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah and Rabbi Akiva, is about the Korban Pesach. It's about the Korban Pesach. Now, unfortunately, b'zman hazeh, we are not yet worthy of having the Beis HaMikdash, so we don't have a Korban Pesach. But this machlokes is very relevant even bisman hazeh for the following reason. And there are two separate reasons, although they're going to overlap a little bit. And that is, we know that there's a mitzvah d'oraisa to eat matzah the first night of Pesach. Leil Seder is a mitzvah d'oraisa. B'erev tochlu matzos. We also know, however, that the mitzvah of matzah exists for the same duration of time as the Korban Pesach. Because the Torah says, the Torah compares Pesach, matzah, and maror, all of them have the same time frame, which would mean, in other words, like Rabbi Akiva, just as the Korban Pesach could be eaten the whole night, matzah could be eaten the whole night, and you would fulfill your mitzvah, and you would make the bracha al achilas matzah. Ma she'ein kein, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria, who says that the eating of the Korban Pesach is only until Chatzos, by the same token, you could only fulfill the mitzvah of B'erev Tochlu Matzos by Chatzos. Now again, please note, I am not referring to the Afikomen. I am actually referring to the first matzah that you eat, in which you fulfill the mitzvah d'oraisa of B'erev Tochlu Matzos, in which you make the bracha Asher kiddushanu b'mitzvosav v'tzivanu al achilas matzah. So according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria, you must eat that first matzah, before chatzos. According to Rabbi Akiva, even the first matzah could be eaten after chatzos. Now again, as I say, this is not a common problem that people face. I think it's comparatively rare that you don't even get to the first matzah until chatzos. But according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria, this would be mandatory. Now, there is a machlokes rishonim, however, within the shita of Rabbi Akiva. So again, let me go over this. According to Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria, the Torah requires that the Korban Pesach be eaten before chatzos. Therefore, the Torah requires that the first matzah be eaten before chatzos. According to Rabbi Akiva, the Torah allows you to eat the Korban Pesach the whole night. So therefore, the Torah allows you to eat even the first matzah the whole night. And Kal v'chomer, the Afikomen, you can eat later than that. However, there's a machlokas rishonim if, according to Rabbi Akiva, is there a rabbinic obligation to eat the first matzah before chatzos? And this goes back to the Mishnah in Maseches Brachos, which discusses the very first Mishnah in Shas. The Mishnah begins, "Mei Masai Koren Eshma Biarvin." When is the time that you can recite the Kriya Shema of the evening? Right? When is the beginning of nightfall? So the Mishnah says, "Misha." From the time that Kohanim who are Tameh, and a Tameh Kohen cannot eat Truma, but when a Kohen Tameh is permitted to eat Truma, now what does that mean? Let's assume the Kohen was in contact with a dead body. Let's say it's a relative, so it was permissible. So the Kohen is Tameh for 7 days. On the seventh day, the Kohen goes to the mikveh, and nightfall following, not like a nida, don't confuse it. A nida does not go to the mikveh till it's nightfall. But a Kohen that's Tameh will go to the mikveh daytime before nightfall, not like a nida. And when nightfall falls, when nightfall comes, in other words, Seis HaKaychavim, when three stars are in the sky, the Kohen is now allowed to eat Truma because he is halachically tohar. So the Mishnah is using an obscure formulation. It essentially means Shema of the evening is when three stars come out. And that can be described as the time when Kohanim who are Tameh are able to eat Truma because they were Tovel in the mikvah on the seventh day. Again, not like a Nida. And they will be tohar at night. Okay, so that's the beginning point, right? The beginning point is Seis HaKaychavim, and that is why if you daven Ma'ariv early, you must recite Kriya Shema over again after Tzeita Kochavim. Arvit can actually be davened earlier than Tzeita Kochavim. That's actually true. But the Shema must be recited again if you didn't say it on time after Tzeita Kochavim. Now, how much time do you have once it's night? So the Mishnah gives us three opinions. Rabbi Eliezer says, Ad Saif Huashmura Harishaina, until the end of the first watch, which is one third of the night, the angels change the guard in Shemayim. There are either three changes or four changes. So it's either one third of the night or one fourth of the night. That's Rabbi Eliezer. The Chachamim say until Chatzos. And Rabban Gamliel says until the morning, until dawn, until Amud HaShachar. Then the Mishnah goes on and gives the story that Maisa Shabo Banav Mibes HaMishnah, his children once came home from a very late chasna, and it was after midnight, and they didn't read the Shema. And Rabbi Gamliel told them, if Amud HaShachar did not come yet, you still have to read Shema, because even the Chachamim that say you only have until Chatzos, that is a rabbinic law, kedei laharchik adam min ha'aveira, in order to distance a person from sin, because if a person thinks they have the whole night, then they decide to take a nap at 11:30 p.m. and not get up till 7 a.m., they missed it. So by telling a person, you gotta read the Shema before midnight, that makes it less likely that they'll fall asleep before then and forget to do it. But Rabbi Gamliel says, since that is only a rabbinic decree, if you missed the midnight deadline, you still have until the morning. And that is the halacha in the Shulchan Aruch, that lechatchila, the Kriya Shema of Mariv, of Arvis, should be recited before Chatzos. That is lechatchila, that is an obligation. But if you missed the Chatzos deadline, you can do it the whole night, right? So that's what the Mishnah in Brachos says about Kriya Shema. Now the Machlokas Rishayim is, will we apply the same logic by matzah according to Rabbi Akiva? Meaning, since Rabbi Akiva says Korban Pesach is the whole night, d'oraisa, hu hadin, that matzah is the whole night, d'oraisa. That's 100% true. Nevertheless, would there be a rabbinic obligation to eat the first matzah before Chatzos, kedei laharchik adam min ha'aveira? Machlokas Rishayim. Some Rishayim say that even according to Rabbi Akiva, you must lechatchila eat the first matzah before Chatzos. But einoch inami, if you missed Chatzos, you can eat it the whole night and even make a bracha. In other words, just like Kriya Shema. The other Rishayim say that according to Rabbi Akiva, there's not even a rabbinic law. And even lechatchila, you are permitted to eat matzah the entire night, the first matzah, and make a bracha, right? So that's a machlokes rishayim within Rabbi Akiva, if there is a gezeira by achilas matzah, kedei laharchik adam min ha'aveira, by analogy to the first Mishnah in Brachos. Now, this question is pertaining to the first matzah. And the first matzah for sure is connected to the Zaman of Korban Pesach, right? The mitzvah of B'erev Teichel Matzeis is mugdar, is defined by the Zaman of the Korban Pesach. That's a Dover Pashut. Now, let's deal with question number two. Let's say I manage to eat my first matzah before Chatzos, which most of us are going to do. And now we have a question about the Afikomen. Now, the afikomen is the matzah that you eat at the end of the meal. Now, the afikomen itself is not a fulfillment of the mitzvah d'oraisa of matzah, because the mitzvah d'oraisa of the erev toklu matzos, you have already fulfilled at the beginning of the meal, when you made the bracha, asher kiddushanu b'mitzvasav v'tzivanu al achilas matzah. So what is the purpose of eating the afikomen at the end of the meal? The purpose, this is a rabbinic decree, is a zikaron, it is a commemoration of the korban Pesach, a commemoration, because in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, the korban Pesach was not the main course. The korban Pesach was eaten after you had your meal, so you already were full, not stuffed, but full, meaning satisfied, not hungry. And then you would eat a little kezias, an olive-sized piece of the korban Pesach, because this is the halacha that the Pesach must be ne'echal al hasol. The korban Pesach must be eaten when you are satisfied. It shouldn't be like a slave that is ravenous and starving and breaking bones and sucking the marrow, right? The korban Pesach should be eaten like you're a ben chayrin, like you're a melech, who's not really desperate for the next meal. And in order to remember the korban Pesach, we too eat a piece of matzah at the end of the meal, right? It's the end of the meal. We don't eat anything after it, except for two cups of wine and maybe some seltzer, whatever it would be, but we don't really have any food. You're not allowed to have food after the afikomen, because once again, it's a zecher l'korban Pesach. Now, the poskim tell us that we apply the same language, the same idea to the afikomen, even though it's only a rabbinic law that we apply to the first matzah. That is, according to Rabbi Akiva, the afikomen can be eaten the entire night because the korban Pesach can be eaten the entire night. According to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, the afikomen can be eaten only until chatzos because the korban Pesach can be eaten only until chatzos. And then we have the machlokas, if according to Rabbi Akiva, l'chatchila, you should eat the afikomen before chatzos, kidei l'harchik adam min aver. In other words, you apply the same reasoning to both matzahs, but I want to point out that the reason for the analogy is a little different, meaning like this. With respect to the first matzah, the reason why the first matzah is taloi on the zman of korban Pesach is because the mitzvah of matzah is connected to korban Pesach. That's a hekesh. The Torah juxtaposes them. The reason why the afikomen is taloi on the korban Pesach is not because the mitzvah of matzah is connected to korban Pesach. The afikomen is not a mitzvah of matzah. The afikomen is a zecher l'Pesach. And therefore, quite logically, anything that's a zecher l'Pesach has to follow the zman of the korban Pesach. Okay, so this is a bit of a subtle point. The first matzah is the mitzvah of matzah must be done within the zman of the korban Pesach. With respect to the afikomen, the zecher of the korban Pesach must be done within the zman of the korban Pesach. But the bottom line is going to be the same, that this will be taloi on the machlokas, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah and Rabbi Akiva. So now the question, of course, becomes, okay, so if both the first matzah and the afikomen zamanim are taloi, they depend on the machlokas, Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, whom do we paskin like, right? Which man di amar is the halachic opinion? And as you might expect, it's a machlokas. Some poskim follow the view of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, which is chatzos. Other poskim follow the view of Rabbi Akiva, which is amud hashachar. And the reason for this is the following. Normally, if you have a machlokas, Rabbi Akiva and any other rabbi, you follow Rabbi Akiva. This is a well-known principle in Shas halacha k'Rabbi Akiva mechavero. Right, so that would indicate you follow Rabbi Akiva, and that's why many poskim like Rabbi Akiva. On the other hand, there are many stam mishnayos, meaning mishnayos without attribution, that seem to follow Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. So that might indicate that there were other sages besides Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah that took his position. And the rule that the halacha is like Rabbi Akiva over other people who argue is only if one person argues with him. But when you have a majority of sages who argue with Rabbi Akiva, you follow the majority even over Rabbi Akiva. And the question is whether the various textual proofs create a rabbin, a majority that is against Rabbi Akiva. So we would have to treat this as an unresolved halachic issue. Therefore, bottom line is the following. Lechatchila, you must eat both the first matzah and the afikomen before chatzos, because maybe the halacha is like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. B'di'evet, if you missed the deadline of chatzos with respect to the first matzah, and kal v'chomer the afikomen, you still eat the first matzah l'shem mitzvah, because maybe the halacha is like Rabbi Akiva, but you don't make the bracha of ala chilas matzah, because maybe the halacha is like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, that you already missed the zman, and this would be a bracha levatala. So you do the mitzvah, because maybe the law is like Rabbi Akiva, but you don't make the bracha. And when you finally reach the afikomen, there's no bracha anyway, you should eat the afikomen once again, because maybe the halacha is like Rabbi Akiva, even though like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, there would be no purpose. So the bottom line is, if you miss the chatzos deadline because of this suffix, you do the mitzvos no matter what. And again, for most of us, that'll be the apikomen. But you do not make a bracha alachilas matzah, the first matzah, because that would be a suffix bracha levatala, because maybe the law is like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. And there's a general rule that whenever there's a doubt whether you need to recite a bracha or don't recite a bracha, we always, not always, but most of the time, we follow the rule that if there's any doubt whether you're chayav to say a bracha, you don't say the bracha, because it might be a bracha levatala, excuse me, if you're not obligated to say the bracha. Okay, that's the basic halachos that apply, excuse me, because of the suffix. If we paskin like Rabbi Akiva, or we paskin like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. So now, the scenario that can often happen is the following. Let's assume I met my first deadline of chatzos, right? I ate my first matzah, but the Seder, it's almost chatzos, we haven't had a meal yet. Let's assume chatzos is midnight. Usually it's not, but let's assume it's 12 midnight. And it is now 5 to 12, and I had my second cup. So for sure, I got a rush and eat my first matzah. And now it's only one minute to midnight. What do I do? Lechatchila, I'm supposed to eat the afikomen before chatzos. Yeah, if I miss it, I can eat it afterwards. But lechatchila, I'm supposed to eat my afikomen before chatzos. I only have 1 minute. So what should I do? Well, if I eat my afikomen, I got a problem. If I eat my afikomen, I'm not going to be able to eat my meal, because you're not allowed to eat food after the afikomen. So mimanefshach, if I have my chicken soup and kenegelech, assuming I eat gebrux and my whatever it is, whatever I'm eating, I'm going to miss the chatzos deadline for the afikomen. And if I eat the afikomen before chatzos, the whole meal is going to be uneaten. Right? If someone's wife prepared a fancy meal or whatever it would be, it's all going to go to waste. So what am I supposed to do? And by the way, although I'm speaking from a man's perspective, The truth is women have the same problem because women too have to eat the afikoman for chatzot. So whether you're the one who made the meal or the one who's eating the meal or both or anyone in between, you have the same problem. What do you do when the meal hasn't even started yet or you're in the middle of the meal and it's 1 minute to midnight? Do you stop, eat the afikoman, and forfeit the rest of the meal, or what? So the truth of the matter is, according to the Mishnah Brura, it is absolutely the right thing to do to eat the afikoman even in the middle of the meal or even at the beginning of the meal, even if that means you're not going to be allowed to eat after the afikoman. So when you're timing your Seder, you got to factor that in to leave enough time for a meal, even if it's a short meal. Again, a Seder meal does not have to be huge and probably shouldn't be huge because even though the afikoman should be eaten when you're satisfied, it should not be eaten when you're stuffed. If you're stuffed so much that the matzah repulses you, you're actually not yotze the mitzvah of afikoman. It still has to be like a dessert that, you know, you're satisfied, you had a good meal, but you still have it's the matzah still tastes okay. Again, of course, matzah is not the same as the meat of the Korban Pesach, but in theory, that's how it's supposed to be. So according to the Mishnah Brura, you do have a problem. The Mishnah Brura basically says that the chatzais deadline is important enough that you eat the afikoman before chatzais, 1 minute to midnight, whenever that is, and then you lose the rest of the meal and you go straight to benching, the third cup, Hallel, the fourth cup, everything else. So what I want to mention is, I want to mention a very, very ingenious chiddush of Rav Avraham Bornstein, who was known as the Sachet Shavar Rebbe. He was the late 19th, early 20th century. And his Shelos Tshuvos are known as the Avnei Nezer. So we often refer to him as the Avnei Nezer. His son was also a famous Hasidic Rebbe who wrote Sfarim on Chumash called the Shem Mishmuel. Many people may learn the Shem Mishmuel. He is the son of the Avnei Nezer. The Avnei Nezer also had a very interesting father-in-law, which we're not going to talk about a lot today. The father-in-law of the Avnei Nezer was the Kutzker Rebbe, the very enigmatic Kutzker Rebbe, of which there are so many stories. In fact, I actually have a lecture on YouTube about the Kutzker Rebbe. But be it as it may, in fact, by the way, you know, the Kutzker Rebbe is not known by most people as being a great, great Talmud Chacham in Shas and Poskim. I do want to say, though, the Avnei Nezer writes in his introduction that all of the learning that he acquired, he credits to his father-in-law, which means the Avnei Nezer, who was known as an outstanding Gaon, considered the Kutzker Rebbe to be an outstanding Talmud Chacham. So that just shows you that sometimes a person's popular reputation does not really reflect the greatness of the person. In fact, they say this about the Chafetz Chaim and Rav Chaim Soloveitchik. They say that the Welt makes two mistakes about these Gedolim. When people think about the Chafetz Chaim, they think about a tzaddik and not a gaon. And when they think about Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, who was so famous for his deep analytical methodology, they think about a gaon and not necessarily a great tzaddik. And that's a big mistake, because the Chafetz Chaim was even a greater gaon than he was a tzaddik, and Rav Chaim was even a greater tzaddik than he was a gaon. So although Rav Chaim is known for gaonus, and the Chafetz Chaim is known for tzidkus, in point of fact, the Chafetz Chaim had amazing gaonus, and Rav Chaim had amazing tzidkus. Similarly, the Kutzker Rebbe, the Avnei Nezer, was meyed, and the Avnei Nezer was an outstanding gadol hador in Shas and Poskim and Halacha, that the Kutzker was his teacher and his guide in all of this. And the Avnei Nezer had a chassidish problem. Right? Chassidim, I mean, like many of us actually, have long seders. And when they have long seders, they have many, many divrei Torah. they often do not reach the afikomen. I'm sorry, they often don't reach the meal, right? They don't even reach the meal till it's 1 minute to chatzos. So the question becomes, how do you have your cake and eat it too? Your Pesach cake and eat it too. How do you manage to have your afikomen before chatzos and still salvage the meal? That seems to be impossible. Because if I have my afikomen before chatzos, I'm not allowed to eat after the afikomen. And if I want to continue eating, I'm going to eat the afikomen after chatzos. Right? How do you accomplish two contradictory things? Afikomen before chatzos and being able to eat my meal afterwards. So the Avnei Nezer actually suggests a chiddush out of this conundrum. And his chiddush is based on the following idea. We have this halacha that you're not allowed to eat after the afikomen, right? That is a halacha. And that's based on the halacha that you weren't allowed to eat after the Korban Pesach. Again, the same idea. Since the afikomen is a zecher, the Korban Pesach, so the same way you're not allowed to eat after the Korban Pesach, you're not allowed to eat after the afikomen. Now, what is the logic why we don't want you to eat after the Korban Pesach or after the afikomen? Because we want the taste of the Korban Pesach, which was actually a stronger taste than matzah, or the taste of the matzah, which is a commemoration of the Korban Pesach, to remain in your mouth. We want you to be connected to it. Now, let's think about this. What does it mean that you can't eat after the Korban Pesach? Does it mean you can't eat forever? Obviously, it doesn't mean that. So you can't eat until when exactly? So this is the Avnei Nezer's Knech. The Avnei Nezer's Knech is that the requirement that the taste of the Korban Pesach or the Afikomen remain in your mouth exists only as long as there's still a mitzvah of eating the Korban Pesach. Meaning, when the mitzvah of Korban Pesach terminates, there is no longer a requirement that the taste remains in your mouth. Therefore, the Avnei Nezer comes to the surprising conclusion. According to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, you are actually allowed to eat food after chatzos. Because since after chatzos, I mean, let's talk about the Beis Hamikdash for a moment. Let's imagine I ate my Korban Pesach at 11 p.m. I'm going to make up 12 midnight as chatzos. So if I eat my Korban Pesach at 11 p.m., I'm not allowed to eat any other food because the taste of the Korban Pesach must remain in my mouth. Okay. But for how long must the taste of the Korban Pesach remain in my mouth? Says the Avnei Nezer, only until 12 midnight. Because once 12 midnight comes, there's no longer a mitzvah of Korban Pesach. If there's no longer a mitzvah of Korban Pesach, there is no requirement that the taste of the Pesach remain in your mouth. Therefore, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, there's a chumrah and a kula. The chumrah is, you can't eat Korban Pesach after midnight. That's a chumrah. The kula is you're allowed to eat everything else because there's no longer a requirement that the taste of the Pesach remain in your mouth. So according to him, if you ate the Korban Pesach at 11 p.m., the iser of eating food after the Korban Pesach would only last from 11 to 12. But after 12, you'd be allowed to eat other food. Masha ein kein, according to Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva maintains that the mitzvah of eating Korban Pesach is the entire night until dawn. So according to him, just like the mitzvah of eating Korban Pesach remains in effect until dawn, the requirement that the taste of the Pesach remaining, or the afikomen today, remain in your mouth is until dawn. So according to him, if you ate the Korban Pesach even at 11 p.m., you wouldn't be allowed to eat food until dawn, because it's still the Zaman of the mitzvah, and the taste of the Pesach, or today the taste of the Afikomen, must remain. Which means the two positions each have a Chumrah and a Kula. According to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, the Pesach must be eaten by midnight. And after midnight, you can't eat the Pesach. Therefore, after midnight, you're allowed to eat other food because the Tam Pesach doesn't have to remain bepiv. That's Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. According to Rabbi Akiva, it's the other way around. I could eat the Korban Pesach the entire night, but I wouldn't be allowed to have any food after the Korban Pesach until the morning, because the Tam Pesach must remain in my mouth the whole Zman of the mitzvah of Korban Pesach, and that would apply to the Afikoman as well. A big, big chiddush. You see the Avnei Nezer's chiddush. The Avnei Nezer's conceptual chiddush is that the chiyuv of keeping the taste of the Pesach or the Afikoman in your mouth only exists as long as it is the Zman of the Korban Pesach. Based on this hanacha, the Avnei Nezer has a truly, truly brilliant way of breaking the conundrum. Let us, and that's called the conditional Afikomen. How does that work? Again, it's 1 minute to 12. I had my matzah, my morer, and my korech. I do not have time to have gefilte fish and knedlach or anything else. I don't have the time. I got to eat my Afikomen. Problem, if I eat my Afikomen, I cannot have a meal. What do I do? So here's what the Avnei Nezer says. Take a piece of matzah, 1 minute to 12 or a quarter to 12, and say, if the halacha is like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, because remember, it's a suffix, who says you must eat the Afikomen before chatzos, I hereby intend to eat this l'shem Afikomen. If the halacha is like Rabbi Akiva, however, I do not intend for this to be the Afikomen. So I eat, in other words, this should only be plain matzah. I eat a piece of matzah. I wait for 1 minute or 15 minutes, because for the next 15 minutes, I'm not allowed to eat if the halacha is like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, right? I wait 15 minutes or 1 minute till chatzos. After chatzos, I'm now allowed to continue eating my meal. You're not allowed to eat after the Afikomen. Well, no. According to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, I am allowed to eat after chatzos. It's only like Rabbi Akiva that I couldn't eat the whole night. But like Rabbi Akiva, I didn't intend for that to be my Afikomen. So now I now have the whole night. I can now have a meal for 3 hours. At the end of the 3 hours, I take another piece of matzah. And I said, if the halacha is like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, the first matzah I ate was the Afikomen, and this is just food. I'm just eating food, matzah. But if the halacha is like Rabbi Akiva, that first matzah I already said was only matzah, and this is my Afikomen, and I'm yaitze with my Afikomen now at 2 o'clock in the morning, and enochinami, after that point, I won't be able to eat anymore until the morning. So by having two Afikomens on a condition, the Avnei Nezer has created this very, very ingenious way of having your cake and eating it too, which means to say the only thing you have to be careful of is if you have your Afikomen shortly before Chatzos, on the condition of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, don't eat anything from the end of the Afikomen until Chatzos. So if that's 1 minute, that's only 1 minute. If it's 15 minutes, then it's 15 minutes. A half an hour is a half an hour, because you do have to keep the halacha of Tam Afikomen Bepiv until Chatzos. But after Chatzos, you are permitted to then eat your meal, because like Rabbi Akiva, you haven't had your Afikomen. Now you understand we have to make this condition. If you were to simply eat a regular Afikomen before Chatzos, and have kavanah that your yaitzeh, even like Rabbi Akiva, you would then be stuck. You would then not be allowed to have your meal. But if you do this conditional afikaimen, then according to Rabbi Akiva, you haven't eaten the afikaimen yet. Memela, you're allowed to have a meal, and you have your afikaimen at the end of the meal. So this is, in the yeshiva world, this is called the Avnei Nezer's Tanai, the condition of the Avnei Nezer. And once again, the Avnei Nezer was known to be a genius, and this type of lumbus is very, very eluyish, we say, a very genius type of lumbus. But people do point out that the Mishnah Brura does not bring this as a solution. And let me explain why this would not work according to all interpretations. The Avnei Nezer's lumbus presupposes that the only reason I have to eat the afikomen before chatzos is because of Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria. And like Rabbi Akiva, there's no problem in doing it later. And that's why I could make it tonight that the first matzah I eat is not the afikomen like Rabbi Akiva. Because the only reason to meet the chatzos deadline is because of Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria. That's the whole lumbus of the Avnei Nezer. But you will recall, I had mentioned to you that there were shitos that say that even according to Rabbi Akiva, lechatchila rabbinically, you have to meet the chatzos deadline, kedei laharchik adam min ha'aveira. In other words, the imperative of chatzos is not only because of Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria's law, that Korban Pesach is chatzos. It's according to Rabbi Akiva as well, albeit for a rabbinic law that a person should not come to forget or fall asleep. If that's true, I don't have the bereira to eat the first matzah only like Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria. I must be mechaven to eat that first matzah. When I say first, I mean the first afikomen. I must be mechaven to eat the first afikomen, even like Rabbi Akiva, kedei laharchik adam min ha'aveira. Well, at that point, I've lost my cake, because if I have to eat the first afikomen, even like Rabbi Akiva, I now have the prohibition of eating after the afikomen for the whole night, since that is the zman of the Korban Pesach. In other words, the Avnei Nezer works only if the imperative of chatzos is only because of Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria. But if we add the requirement of chatzos is the harchik adam min ha'aveira, then the bereira of the first afikaimen not being an afikaimen like Rabbi Akiva doesn't work. And if that's the case, you're going to lose out. So because of this, many say that the Avnei Nezer's Tanai is not a lechatchila. Some people do it, some people don't do it. Again, the Mishnah Berurah seems to say it's not a valid Eitzah, but he doesn't say not, he just doesn't bring it. And the fact that he doesn't bring it would indicate that it would not be a proper condition to make. On the other hand, let me point out that if Bein Kach U Bein Kach, you're going to eat your regular afikomen after chatzos, you might as well do the Avnei Nezer. You might as well say, okay, I'll at least do the first afikomen like Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria, meaning that's not going to hurt you. Lechatchila, it wouldn't be proper to have your last afikomen after chatzos, but if you're going to do that anyway, the Avnei Nezer's Tanai might be a way to make it a little better than it would otherwise be. Okay, so that's what I wanted to share with you, the famous tonight of the Avnei Nezer. By the way, the Avnei Nezer had a very unusual shita in learning. Again, he was a very, very great Pesach. In fact, some of you might have heard of another sefer he wrote. He wrote one of the great definitive svarim on Hilchos Shabbos. That's called the Eglei Tal. It's one of the great, great svarim on Hilchos Shabbos. It's the Eglei Tal, the Avnei Nezer. But one of the unusual features of his derech in learning is that he believed in combining even Kabbalah with halacha, meaning most of the time, halachic analysis does not really connect to Kabbalah or deeper spiritual ideas. Halacha has its own interior dialectic, but the Avni Nezer did believe that every part of Torah is interrelated and interconnected, and therefore he believed that halachos can be explained by reference to Kabbalistic concepts, and that was actually a derech that was somewhat unique. Okay, so that's what I wanted to share with you.
Considering that Afikoman is Midorabanan, yes. Why don't we apply the principle of Safek Dorabanan Lakula and Paskin according to Rabbi Akiva?
First of all, Lamai said we do, because what's the bottom line? I mean, the bottom line actually is that if you miss Chatzos, you do eat the Afikoman. So in point of fact, we do say exactly that, but the only thing is, lechatchila, you try to fulfill both opinions, even by a suffix to Rabbanan. But the bottom line is, again, I want to be sure everyone understands this, if you miss Chatzos, you certainly eat the Afikoman like Rabbi Akiva. Let me point out too that Rav David Cohen, he's a very, very chashuv rav in Flatbush, has another point in which he disagrees. He raises a question with the Avni Nezer. The Avni Nezer assumes that the prohibition of eating after the Afikoman or the Korban Pesach lapses when the Zman of the Korban Pesach is over, and therefore the Avni Nezer's Tanai presupposes that if you have an Afikoman like Elazar ben Azariah, you could eat your meal after Chatzos. That's the Avni Nezer's Yesod, that since according to him it is not the Zman of the Korban Pesach anymore, you're allowed to eat something and take away the taste. Rav David Cohen wants to suggest that perhaps the requirement that the Korban Pesach remain in your mouth and you remember and you connect to the Korban Pesach is not limited to the Zman of the Korban Pesach, but it's based on another description. The Torah describes Leil Seder as Leil Shimurim. Now, Leil Shimurim means a designated day. Again, there are many interpretations. Leil Shimurim may mean a protected night, a night of special divine protection. That's why some people have a minhag, I'm not advocating it, that they do not lock their doors when they go to sleep, Pesach night, Seder night, because it's a Leil Shimurim. Also, a lot of the Tehillim of Kriya Shema Lamita to protect us from negative forces, people do not say. So Leil Shimurim is a night of protection. But Shimurim can also mean a night of preservation and commemoration. And perhaps Rav David Cohen suggests the idea that the taste of the Korban Pesach or the matzah should remain in your mouth is part of your shimur, part of your commemoration, your remembrance, your preservation of the day. And if that's so, the whole night you have to have that preservation. Even if Korban Pesach lapses at Chatzos, Leil Shimurim itself may be mechayev that the Tam Pesach remains bepiv. Therefore, Rav David Cohen wants to say that even eating an Afikoman like Elazar ben Azariah is not going to permit you to eat after Chatzos, because Leil Shimurim prohibits taking away the taste of the matzah or the Pesach for the whole night. Again, that's a chiddush. He doesn't necessarily have a proof of that, but he just offers it as yet another problem with the Tanai of the Avnei Nezer. Let me just spend a few minutes talking about some of the halachas of Purim that are coming up. All of us know that one of the major differences between Yerushalayim and other places is when do you normally observe Purim? Purim in most of the world is, of course, the 14th of Adar, because that is the day that, right, the Jews fought against our enemies that tried to destroy us on the 13th of Adar, and we rested and we celebrated on the 14th of Adar. and that became the holiday of Purim. Of course, it's been pointed out very often that we don't celebrate the day of a military victory. We celebrate the initiation of peace, right? Because the military victory against our enemies was on the 13th of Adar. But that's not a day that's Purim, right? Purim is the 14th, the day of peace and the light. But if you remember, Esther requested an extra day in Shushan to go against the enemies. So throughout the world, we fought on the 13th. We rested on the 14th. That became Purim. In Shushan, they fought on the 13th and the 14th, and they celebrated on the 15th. And that became Shushan Purim, which is the Purim of the 15th. Now, then the Megillah says a very peculiar statement. Therefore, the cities that have walls celebrate Purim on the 15th. And we call that Shushan Purim. Now, that's a very strange thing. According to the halacha, it means any city that had a wall from the days of Yehoshua bin Nun, even though it doesn't have a wall today, celebrates Purim on the 15th. Now, we know Yerushalayim did have a wall, and it has a wall even now, but that wall was built later. But Yerushalayim had a wall from Yeshua bin Nun. Therefore, we celebrate on the 15th. Now, just in terms of Pashat Pshat, this does not make a lot of sense at all. The institution of Shushan Purim was specifically connected to Shushan. Esther wanted an extra day. So as a result, in Shushan, they fought on the 14th of Adar, and they celebrated Purim on the 15th. But everywhere else, they fought on the 13th, and they celebrated the 14th. Even Yerushalayim that year, they celebrated on the 14th. Why should the Purim of Shushan be extended to walled cities from the days of Yehoshua bin Nun? It's a very, very strange idea, because the historical origin of Shushan Purim has nothing to do with any city other than Shushan. So in truth, we don't have a very, very compelling reason. The Ran brings the Talmud Yerushalmi that says that this was an enactment to honor Eretz Yisrael, that we didn't want to give, the Chachamim didn't want to give Shushan a prominence over the important major cities of Eretz Yisrael. And if Shushan gets a special day, we want Eretz, the important comparable cities of Eretz Yisrael, to have a special day as well. So although historically Shushan Purim had nothing to do with Yerushalayim, but in order to give kavod to Eretz Yisrael, we want Eretz Yisrael to be as chashuv as Shushan. But be it as it may, therefore, the halacha is Shushan Purim is observed in every city that had a wall from the days of Yeshua bin Nun. That's Yerushalayim. Cities like Tveria are suffix, so some kehilos read it 14 and 15. And even Yerushalayim, many shilas about newer neighborhoods like Ramot. I don't want to get into all of that now, but you will find that some of the neighborhoods that are distant from the old city, they actually read both times, etc. There are various sfeikos about how to deal with communities that are not within the walls of Yerushalayim. Okay, I'm not going to get into that now. Maybe I'll talk about it next week. I just want to mention, as you all know undoubtedly, that this year, the dichotomy between the Yerushalayim and the rest of Eretz Yisrael or the rest of the world is not as strong as normal, because this year, the 15th of Adar is on Shabbos. The question is, are there any other cities besides Yerushalayim that don't read on the 14th? No, there are not. There are cities that read both times. And in fact, by the way, some have argued that Prague is not, obviously it's not a city in Eretz Yisrael, but Prague is a very, very old city. And some have argued that Prague has had a wall since the days of Yehoshua bin Nun. And there are actually people who believe that in Prague you do have to read. On the 15th. Yeah, I believe Hebron reads both 14th and the 15th. So this year, because when the 15th falls out on Shabbos, or the 14th as well, we don't read Megillah on Shabbos. And we don't read Megillah on Shabbos because of a rabbinic decree, just like Shofar and Lulav, that the rabbis were afraid you would come and carry the Megillah in a public domain. So there's no Kriyat HaMegillah on Shabbos. That's rule number one. Rule number two is that because when the Megillah Esther describes the mitzvah of Megillah, it uses the words lo ya'avor, it shall not be passed by. Whenever you can't read Megillah in its proper time, you never push it off. You always move it early. So if I can't read Megillah on Shabbos, I don't push it off to Sunday. I move it backwards to Friday. That's because of Lo Yavor. So if that's the case, this year, Mikra Megillah will be the same in both Yerushalayim and everywhere else, Thursday night and Friday. Thursday night and Friday everywhere else, because that's Purim. And Thursday night and Friday, even in Yerushalayim, because when the 15th is on Shabbos, you got to make Megillah early rather than late because of Lo Yavor. So this year, everybody reads Megillah the same time. Now, there's still going to be a difference because there's a third principle, right? So first principle is we don't read Megillah on Shabbos. Second principle, when you don't read Megillah on Shabbos, you got to make it earlier, not later. Principle number three, Matanos Le'Avyonim, the tztaka to the poor, is always connected to Megillah reading, because Chazal tell us that it was customary for many, many aniyim to come to Megillah reading, because that's when there'd be a lot of people, and they would expect that the money would be available for them. So Matanot Le'Avyonim follows the day of Mikra Megillah. So both in Yerushalayim and outside of Yerushalayim, Megillah and Matanot Le'Avyonim will be, not Thursday night, because you do it in the daytime, but it'll be Friday in the day. But there are some differences. Outside of Yerushalayim, in the rest of the world, all of the Purim observances are Thursday night and Friday. That includes Megillah. That includes Matanos Le'Avyonim. That includes Mishloach Manot, the food gifts. And that includes the Seudas Purim, that you have to have a Purim Seuda on Friday. It should be earlier enough that it does not interfere with the meal of Shabbos. Maybe we'll talk about that next week. So outside of Yerushalayim, you keep everything. And Al Hanisim is recited, of course, Thursday night and Friday outside of Yerushalayim. Within Yerushalayim, we have the very fascinating institution that is known as Purim Mishulash, a three-day Purim in which the observances are divided Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Friday, Mikra Megillah Shalach Manos. Mikra Megillah Matanos Le'Avyonim. You do not say Al Hanisim because it's not really Purim day. Friday night and Shabbos, you say Al Hanisim in Shemone Esrei and in Birkat HaMazon, because that's benching. Sunday, Shaloach Mishloach Manot, and Seudat Purim. Okay, so Purim Mishulash, spread over 3 days, right? So again, Friday, Megillah Matanos Le'Avyonim, Shabbos, Al Hanisim, Sunday, Mishloach Manos, Seudat Purim. Outside of Yerushalayim, everything is done Thursday night, Friday, including Al Hanisim and Seudat Purim. Okay, so this is the very exciting Purim Mishulash, and of course, even the people outside of Yerushalayim want to celebrate it. This year, with COVID and everything else, you know, who knows how Purim will be celebrated, but I hope, of course, that whatever the crowds or lack of crowds, people should, number one, stay healthy, and number two, one should have inner joy, even when externally you're not able to have the social connection that you would otherwise have. So anyway, I want to wish you all a Shavua Tov, a good week, and be healthy. And we'll talk more about some of the aspects of Purim next week as well. Kol Tov.